everyone who is in those positions of power, and that's what you're talking about, that the nation state won't solve anything. And this is similar in America. When you see, when we talk about Obama, you see that when he's attacked, you know, like Joe the plumber and people like that, it's a very orchestrated thing, these attacks. And, you know, and so, you know, what you see obviously on the news and in the media is very constructed. Anyhow, I'm glad that the Raven, you got to share your thoughts and feelings about Hugo Chavez, and he will be greatly missed.
Yeah. And that, how do you prepare for, and this is a question we face in this country as much, if not more, which is there is an organized attempt to roll back all we've accomplished that helps us hang on to ourselves, literally, physical survival. When I was riding with a tow truck driver yesterday, and we were talking about how power is this train in motion, and he said, and it's going downhill. I said, yeah, and it's going downhill. And he said, there's a speed to it. And I've been thinking about that, about how we all know this. There's a speed to it. It's a train in motion. And Hugo Chavez got in the way. A brief 14 years. Can you imagine the power of a man who did that much, who interrupted that train as far as his part of the earth was, who was able to interrupt that train? That's monumental. And he began constructing a regional vision because he knew that he was up against global power, and he had to start trying to construct some kind of counter to that regionally. That's critical. And we are also faced with that challenge. He shined the way to a successful strategy. That's why he was offed.
Yeah, there's a lot of, whenever key people who are going against the grain, so to speak, pass away, die, get offed, whatever, it does make you wonder, because the coincidence of it all. I'm wondering, when you were listening to the radio of the Raven, or if you've heard about, I mean, because obviously he knew, Hugo Chavez knew that he was ill. Did he make preparations to try and keep what he had established, something that was more permanent? What was he trying to do in his last, you know, months? I'm just wondering, because he created so much, you know, obviously he wanted to try and preserve that. And so, you know, what's going to happen to this country now?
Well, not knowing the full picture, obviously, but I know that he named his successor in the sense that he knew that they were going to try to roll everything back. So he named the vice president as someone he had faith in. That means a lot. And in terms of using a word I don't like, but I'm not quite sure how to, the word I don't like is institutionalization, but in terms of institutionalization, ensuring that the seeds he planted could not be eradicated, I think a regional vision goes a long way to doing that. I heard criticism of him for not focusing exclusively on internal issues like violence in Caracas. But I think what we have insufficiently appreciated is that if you have amassed trillions and trillions of dollars in preparation for the moment when they can't deliver the goods, because this is a finite planet, obviously. This isn't, you know, hard for any of us to grasp, except apparently the pundits who speak for us on the left, who seem unable to grasp that this is not some self perpetuating economic system. It's a system of converting the earth into measurable quantities and claiming it by nation states and by their emissaries. So what I'm trying to get at is that power has time to prepare for the moment when resource scarcity is not something they can avoid anymore on a global scale. And that means they can pay. They've amassed these trillions. They're holding on to them because their main goal right now is to keep us from waking up. So they can pay people in Venezuela to cause a lot of hardship just through creating quote unquote disorder in the streets, violence, crime, rape. That really does sap our hope. And it does create a justification for a strong state.